Could we turn, please, to Mark chapter 5? Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 and verse 22. And the word of God tells us, "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him." Now, of course, we read in verses 25 through to 34, we read there of another miracle, a separate miracle, the healing of the woman with the issue of blood. So we'll move down to verse 35. We'll leave out the other verses because, as we've said, that is another miracle and we will come to it another night. But tonight it's Jairus' daughter. So verse 35, please. "While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and saith unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment, and he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat." I want you to notice here in this miracle that Jairus believed the incredible. Consider that first of all tonight. Jairus believed the incredible. Jairus was a man of faith. We can't read the passage in Mark chapter 5 without coming to that conclusion. He was a man of faith. Now, his faith wasn't perfect, but nonetheless, there was still faith. You see, there are two reasons why we know that he was a man of faith. First of all, he left his dying child. We're told there in verse 22, "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name." He says in verse 23, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death." So you picture the scene. There's his little girl lying in her deathbed, and she's about to die. She's on the very verge of death. She's just, you could say, breathing her last. And Jairus leaves her. The father leaves her. Would you not have thought that he would have been clinging to her little hand? That wild horses couldn't have taken him away from her bedside? She was about to die. Surely he wanted to be there whenever the breath would leave her little body and her little body would become cold as the cold hand of death gripped her little frame. But actually what you find is that even though she was about to die, the Jairus made his way to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Why? Well, he did it because he had faith in Jesus.
He believed that Jesus was able to heal his daughter. He believed that Jesus was able to save her from death. And in his desperation, in his hour of great need, Jairus goes to the Lord Jesus Christ. He leaves his dying child. Then there's a second reason why we can say that Jairus was a man of faith, why he believed the incredible. Because he led by example. He led by example. Here was a man of faith. Here was a father of faith leading by example. You see, it wasn't the mother who went to Jesus. Now, we thank God for mothers, and we don't read of the mother in this passage. We don't know even whether she was still alive. We assume that she was still alive, that she was still in the land of the living. But we don't know. This passage doesn't really have anything to say about the mother. But what we do know is that it was the father who made his way to Jesus. Jairus was fulfilling his responsibility. He was leading his family in the right direction. He was leading by example. He was taking the lead. It's always good when the father takes the lead. It's so sad that in many homes today, it's left to the mother to take the lead. You know, I particularly remember whenever we were in Belfast, most of the people who came to the church were women, mothers. Very, very few men. Very, very few fathers. It was left to the mothers to lead the way. It was left to the mothers to lead by example. And the fathers were at home, or they were out in the golf course, or they're in the pub, or wherever they were. But they were failing in their duty. You see, it's our duty tonight, fathers, to lead by example. You need to lead by example. I need to lead by example. It's not up to our wives. It's not up to the mother. Yes, the mother, the wife, has an important role. She's of great importance. Behind every good man, there's a good woman. And that's true. But the father must take the lead. And you know, the greatest need of Ulster tonight, or at least one of the greatest needs in Ulster tonight, is for fathers to take the lead and to lead their children to Jesus. If there's one prayer request that I would leave with you tonight as you go to your homes, it would be this. Pray that God will raise up Christian fathers who are prepared to lead their family. Fathers who are prepared to go to Jesus for their family. By the way, there's a lovely picture of prayer here. There's a lovely picture of a praying father. You see, Jairus goes to the Lord Jesus, and he falls at his feet in humility and reverence. And then it says in verse 23, and besought him greatly. Besought him greatly. Jairus begged the Lord Jesus. There was no highfalutin words. There was no clearing his throat and thinking about what he was going to say and how he would put his sentences together. And well, I need to start this way, and I need to continue this way, and then I'll finish that way, and maybe the Lord will be impressed with my prayer. No, no, here was a man who was desperate, and he begged the Savior to intervene. He begged the Lord Jesus to come and to heal his little daughter. And the moral of the story is that fathers who beg Jesus for the salvation of their children will be rewarded. Their prayers will be answered. I know that you fathers in the meeting tonight, I know that this is what you do, because you're just like Jairus. Many, many times in your own home, many, many times on a Thursday night, you have been beseeching the Lord. You've been begging the Lord to come, to save your loved ones, to reach those in your homes who are outside of Christ, your sons, your daughters who are lost and they're perishing. I want to encourage you tonight that the Lord will answer your prayer. Jairus was rewarded, and so will you be. Jairus received a wonderful reward. His daughter was raised from the dead, and I want to tell you tonight that there's coming a day whenever God's going to answer your prayers. You know, God doesn't mock his own people. He doesn't mock his own children. He doesn't tell us to pray. He doesn't tell us to seek his face and to cry out to him and then mock us by not answering our prayers. That's not the way God works. No, the Lord has promised to answer the prayers of his people, particularly when it comes to household salvation. Oh, here was a man who believed the incredible. And he led by example. You know, we need fathers like Jairus today. Whenever we look at the state of society, surely we have to say that we need Christian fathers in our homes. We need Christian fathers leading their families, coming to the Lord, praying for their families, crying out to God for the salvation of their families. Oh, just think about the state of society today. You think about it for a moment. Apparently, over the past 30 years, there has been a 550% increase in violent crime among teenagers, a 400% increase in illegitimate births, a 200% increase in teenage pregnancies, a 300% increase in teenage suicide. Over 70% of all juveniles in young offender centres come from homes without a father. You see, really all these statistics about violent crime and murders and illegitimate births and underage pregnancies and suicide, there's one common denominator. There's no father in the homes that these people came from. Or at least in the vast majority of the homes. They're homes without a father. What a difference it would make to Ulster tonight if God was to give us godly fathers. Men like Jairus. It was Lord Shaftesbury who said on one occasion, "Give me a generation of Christian mothers, and I undertake to change the whole face of society in 12 months. Well, let me change that a wee bit tonight, because I believe that it's equally as right to say, it's equally correct to say, give me a generation of Christian fathers, and I undertake to change the whole face of society in 12 months. You know, that's what we need to pray for. We need to cry out to God, Lord, give us a generation of godly fathers. Jairus believed the incredible. Notice secondly, Jairus perceived the invisible. Jairus perceived the invisible. You see, we read here that whenever Jairus went to Jesus, the Lord Jesus immediately followed Jairus. You see, that's what the Savior's like. He's so willing to bless and he's so willing to save. And immediately he goes with Jairus. But then there's an interruption, or what seems to be an interruption. The woman with the issue of blood comes along, and the crowd throng the Lord Jesus, and he's not making any progress. And then he somehow realizes that this lady has touched him. Somebody in the crowd has touched him. And he turns round to find out who it was. And there's a delay. And you can just imagine how Jairus must have been feeling. Lord, hurry up. Please come quickly. My little daughter's at the point of death. She's about to die, and we can't afford this delay. Can you imagine how exasperated he must have been? Can you imagine how discouraged he must have become? As the seconds went by, the minutes went by, and the Lord Jesus is looking round for this woman, and he stops to talk to this woman. Maybe you're discouraged tonight. Maybe you're exasperated. Maybe you're cast down tonight because of the delay. Because of God's delay. Because maybe you say tonight, well, I've prayed for my son or my daughter for as long as I can remember. And I've been praying every Thursday night, every Sunday night, and in my quiet time I've been begging the Lord that he would step in, that he would save that loved one. Or maybe it's a work colleague, or maybe someone else that you rub shoulders with, and you've been praying for them, and yet nothing's happening. There's a delay. Well, take heart from this delay in Mark chapter 5. You see, here's a man, Jairus, and he wasn't superhuman. He wasn't any more spiritual than you or me. And no doubt he's cast down here. No doubt he's at his wit's end, as he just wants the Savior to come with him as quickly as humanly possible to the bedside of his dying daughter. And then his worst fears come true, because someone comes from his home and says to him, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" And you know, the little girl had died, but I believe, as far as Jairus was concerned, his hopes had died too. Hope had died. But then you see, immediately the Lord steps in, because the Lord always loves to encourage his people. And the Lord says to Jairus, "Be not afraid, only believe." Be not afraid, only believe. Jairus, everything seems to be against you. Your hope is dashed, and the situation seems to be impossible. Be not afraid, only believe. And then it was that Jairus perceived the invisible. I believe it was at that point that Jairus began to realize, Jesus is going to raise my daughter to life. Jesus is going to resurrect her from the dead. And you know, I can just imagine Jairus thinking to himself, well, I came to Jesus and I asked Jesus to heal my daughter. I wanted him to heal her before she died. But now I realize that he's actually able to raise her after she dies. He's able to do even more than I ever imagined he could do. He's perceiving the invisible. And my, he's beginning to picture in his mind the little girl rising up from the deathbed. Oh, he can't see it yet with the physical eyes, but he sees it with his spiritual eyes, with the eye of faith. This is what he sees. My, what an example Jairus is to us. Here was a man who perceived the invisible. Oh, that God would give us the grace, that he would give us the ability tonight as Christian parents to perceive the invisible. Oh, that we tonight might be able to see the invisible. That we might be able to see that son or that daughter converted with the eye of faith tonight. That we would believe that the Lord is able to do it, and not only that he's able, but that there's coming a day when he will do it. That we will just rest tonight in his mighty power. You know, the old devil loves to fill us with anxiety and fear. There's nothing that the devil loves to do more than to cause God's children to fluster and to worry and to be apprehensive about the future.
But the Lord just says tonight, rest, rest. Leave it with me. You know, you've heard that phrase before. There's certain people who like to use that phrase, mentioning no names. But it's good to leave it with the Lord. We need to leave our loved ones with the Lord. We don't see them in the church tonight. But you know, we've got to believe that there's a day coming whenever they will be sitting with us. Not to hear the great preacher, because the preacher isn't great. Oh, how often we lament over our stammering words and our stuttering words. And my, the preacher, you know, and really every preacher, if he has the honesty to admit it, he'll admit that he's so inadequate. But it's the word of God that counts. And you know, we've got to perceive that there's coming a day whenever our loved ones and others, our neighbours, that they'll be sitting with us in the house of God, listening to the word of the living God. Yes, here was a man who perceived the invisible. So remember, first of all, he believed the incredible. And then he perceived the invisible. But I want us to finish tonight by noticing that here was a man who received the impossible. He received the impossible. We're told here in verse 37, and he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and saith unto her, Talitha cumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straitly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Here's the impossible. Jairus receives the impossible. I want you to notice, with regard to this miracle, first of all, the privacy of the miracle. The privacy of the miracle. You see, it tells us there, verse 37, that Jesus specifically chose Peter and James and John to go with him. Now, the woman with the issue of blood has touched him. She's been miraculously cured. And Jesus has spoken to her. And then he has turned around and he's following Jairus. And he chooses Peter, James and John. But there's a whole crowd of people that want to come as well. But Jesus says, sorry, you're not allowed. Only Jairus, Peter, James and John. The Lord Jesus wasn't one for crowds, you know. My, what a lesson for us today. You know, there's some people who wouldn't go near church unless there's a crowd. But here's the Lord Jesus, and he takes Peter, James and John. He goes to the house of Jairus. And that's very interesting. Whenever he gets to the house, there's these professional mourners, minstrels, we could say, people who are paid to mourn, and they're weeping and they're lamenting, but it's only crocodile tears, because they're not really crying. It's not real sorrow. It's not real grief. This was the custom in those days, that people would come and they would pretend to be weeping and wailing. And Jesus puts them out. Notice that. Verse 40, and they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out. Sometimes Jesus has to put people out. Sometimes the Lord Jesus, well, not sometimes, all the time, the Lord Jesus, if he's to
if he's to perform the miracle, if the blessing is to come, Jesus needs to get rid of the hindrance. He needs to remove the hindrance. And more often than not, the hindrance is the laugher, the scoffer, the person who mocks and ridicules and sneers. Have you ever met a person like that? Sarcastic kind of a person. The laugh and the scoff and the mock, and they love to talk about people behind their backs. They love to run down the church. They love to tell everybody and anybody about the faults of the church and the shortcomings of the church. Sometimes the Lord Jesus Christ has to put them out. And you know, this is what he did in Mark chapter 5. Now, don't you think that the Lord Jesus said, "Excuse me, is there someone who could please ask these folk to kindly leave us for a moment or two?" No, that's not what happened. Jesus manhandled these people out of the house. He threw them out. That's what it literally means in the original. Jesus himself personally took them and threw them out. You can just picture a bouncer throwing some boy out of a pub. You know, these big burly bouncers. Well, here we have the Lord Jesus Christ, and he sees these scoffers, these people laughing and ridiculing, and he says, "Enough's enough." And he doesn't even tell them, "Get out, please leave." He goes himself and he throws them out. Oh, but you thought that the Lord Jesus would never do anything like that. You thought that Jesus is the person who took the little children up in his arms and blessed them, and he wouldn't say boo to a goose. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of the Bible threw people out of the temple. The Bible tells us that he made a scourge and he whipped them out of the temple. The people who were polluting his father's house, the people who were hypocrites. And here we have the Lord Jesus in the house of Jairus, and he puts them out. You know, that reminds me of the awful day that's coming whenever sinners will be cast out from the presence of the Lord. Whenever sinners will be cast out into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But then, not only the privacy of the miracle, but you notice what the Lord Jesus says here. Whenever the people are put out, and Peter and James and John and the parents are brought in, you notice what Jesus says to this little girl. Verse 41, Talitha Kumai. Talitha Kumai, that's an Aramaic phrase, and it literally means, "Little lamb, arise. Little lamb, arise." That's very interesting. The Lamb of God saying to a little lamb, "Arise." You know, there's a wonderful picture here of the conversion of a child. In my last year, during the children's mission, we rejoiced at the little lambs that were converted. And then not too long before that, we heard of some little children being converted in the Sunday school. Little lambs being converted. My, that was wonderful too. You know, the Lord Jesus loves to raise the little lambs. And you know, we've already talked tonight about the Bible Club. And we need to start praying that the Lord Jesus will raise the little lambs, that he'll save the little children. He did it last year. He did it the year before. He's able to do it again. The privacy. And then the proof of this healing, the proof of the miracle. You'll notice the response of the little child. First of all, her action. Verse 42, whenever Jesus says, "Talitha kumai, damsel, I say unto thee, arise," what happens? "And straightway the damsel arose and walked." Straightway the damsel arose and walked. You know, there's action here. There's action. This little girl, whenever life flooded back into her body, she arose, she got up, and she walked. You know, that's a picture of the person who finds Christ, the person who is born again. They begin to walk. They begin to follow the Lord. Now, there'll be many a time when they'll stumble. Oh, the walking won't be perfect. And it'll never be perfect until they reach heaven, sure. But at least there will be some kind of walking. And I tell you, friends, one type of walking that there definitely will be whenever a person is truly born again, they'll be walking to the house of God and they'll be walking to the prayer meeting. And then not only her action was proof that she was really alive, but you notice her appetite, her appetite. Jesus, in verse 43, he commanded that something should be given her to eat. Now, the Lord Jesus didn't give her something to eat himself, but he said to the parents and to those standing around, give her something to eat. There was life there. She had been raised from the dead and she needed food. You know, that's a picture of little children again, isn't it? Whenever they're converted, that's just the beginning. Whenever a little child is saved, that's just the beginning. They need food. That's why we have a holiday Bible club. To feed the little children with spiritual food. That's why we have a Sunday school. It's to feed the little children with food. Yes, it's so important to evangelize the children. Oh, how we long the children would be saved through the Bible clubs and the Sunday school work. But let's not forget that it's equally important for the saved children to be fed. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, I'm not going to do it. You do it. It's your responsibility. I have raised this little one from the dead. I have saved his or her soul. Now, it's over to you. It's up to the church to feed her little soul. It's up to you, parents, to feed your little children. Oh, that the Lord will help us to fulfill our responsibilities. Yes, here was a father who believed the incredible. Here was a father who perceived the invisible. And here was a father who received the impossible.